Morning Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. This past week, Toledo native Therese Schlachter and also retired Army Colonel Gregory Getz, and they held a book signing for this. It's an amazing tale of survival and spirit. The book is called Finding Waypoints. I was honored to talk to the pair this week.
When I saw Waypoints, I immediately thought military. And right. you're saying to me, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be applicable just to military. So I wanted you to kind of describe it, not only as the title of the book, but also how you use it in life.
Right. So finding waypoints to me is with respect to life, it's about the journey. You know, the cliche, life is about the journey. But so many of us live this journey looking over the horizon. We are not living and being where we are. We're not being present. And to me, it's important to live our life being present, being in the moment. And so, you know, one of the things that, sort of accelerated my appreciation of life, obviously being wounded, was, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And when you don't even know what tomorrow is supposed to look like, when you don't have a dream or an expectation of what tomorrow holds, all you can do is be present. All you can do is be where you're at. And that's where I had to be. And just to survive, just for my own sort of perseverance
giving, and I think waypoints maybe also giving your readers kind of a roadmap for life for themselves, correct?
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, be introspective and use my life as sort of a moment in time to kind of look at your life and how you're living your life and what's important and where you're focusing your energy. Of course, Therese did an amazing job of translating my journey and my thoughts to paper.
Therese, I want to jump right in, because for those who grab this book, and I hope they do, first chapter, you immediately, you hit the ground running as far as the storytelling is concerned. You go right into the attack that happened to the colonel in Iraq. And talk to me about getting the accounts, finding the accounts, getting that storytelling. How did you do it?
I did a lot of phone calling and a lot of searching around on the internet, and had some help from Greg in finding a few of the people. And once you find a couple of people, they'll know a couple other people. The one guy, though, I had the hardest time finding. It took me almost a couple of years to find a guy named Brad Bandy. And I had been searching and randomly found a name on a document that had an email and sent it. And it turned out it was his uncle. I was sitting at my desk one day and Brad, he called and I didn't know for some reason I picked up because I didn't recognize the number. And I said, hello, who is this? And he said, this is Brad Bandy. Ma'am, I heard you've been looking for me. And he had a lot of the documentation. He had the reports, the forensics from the bombing, and pictures. He sent me some great photos that you'll see in the book.
And for people who don't know the story, Colonel, obviously the crux of chapter one talks about the attack, an IED explosive that goes off underneath your Humvee. How much could you help Therese with the storytelling of that moment? Or was it just that flash, that bang that we hear about or we read about in the book, that it was relied upon others to kind of give their own account? How much did you give to Therese?
Right. So I was able to kind of really set the tone for, you know, right when that moment, when it happened. I was returning back to my headquarters after attending a memorial service for two young men that had been killed in a sister battalion in my brigade. And so, you know, I was really, in a lot of ways sort of wondering if we were making progress, you know, questioning whether this sacrifice was worth it.
There was a series of Humvees with you, right? You were kind of
I was the third of four. And so, you know, and we were heading back, and all of a sudden it's just like this muffled wham. And so I knew what it was. And I remember just sort of, I got blown out of the vehicle and I hit the ground, and I rolled a couple of times. So I stopped on my back. And so I knew what it was. I knew I was hurt. I knew it was very serious. And I knew my life was in danger. And then that's kind of where the story, you know, ends for me for a little bit, because you know, my soldiers find me and resuscitate me, get the bleeding under control, and then over the next hour, probably I'm in and out. You know, I don't realize what's wrong with me right away. When they finally get, they're starting to put me in a vehicle, you know, I
basically punched a couple guys.
Yeah. I punched a couple guys. I basically see, you know, one of my feet on my lap, and, you know, it's just, you know, I was in shock. I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot to process, and there's a lot I truly don't remember. And that was a huge gift of Therese to put it all together, almost like a forensic scientist or something. She puts it all together, but she captures the emotion too. I mean,
Therese, one of the things that grabbed my attention about that segment is I felt like I was in a tailspin as I was reading. And I think that's kind of the mindset you want the reader to experience, because there was even, and I don't remember if it was a quote, but there was a moment where there was some uncertainty. Are we going in circles? Are we even getting to where we need to go? How do you as a writer try to, I guess, was that something that was told to you? There was uncertainty about the direction, anything like that?
There's kind of a combination of different stories from all the people who I was able to contact who were in the field that night. The driving in circles was Greg's thought, because he was in and out of consciousness, and he felt like it was taking a really long time to travel this 5 minutes, 10 minutes that it should have taken to get back to the base. But the scene in an explosion like that is just very chaotic.
Stepping away so many years, being a retired colonel, your thoughts on the military now, after going through this experience, how do you relay that story to others? What is the tale you tell about the military, about war, and about nation building?
First of all, my own personal perspective on war, having, you know, been in some form of throughout my career, seeing it in many different spectrums, is that it's, you know, I say it's probably one of the saddest things known to man, that we have to resort to violence to resolve things that go wrong, whether someone's trying to take something from another, whatever. It's a sad resort, and we're fortunate as Americans that we have men, women, and their families that volunteer to defend our way of life. And so, from a very generic perspective, I say, look, it's the proudest thing I've done in my life to be able to serve my fellow man, my country, and these soldiers and families that have taken the same oath, regardless of where they're from or what party, none of that kind of stuff. I'm proud that we still remain above all this politics, even at this point in my life.
I was struck too. You said my legs were my sacrifice.
Yeah, so I didn't, you know. My legs and my family, we gave them in service to this nation. They weren't taken from me. I was serving. I was doing what I wanted to do. And, I certainly don't wish this on anyone. But honestly, I can say is I wouldn't change a thing. the person that is talking to you today is the sum of all those experiences that brought me to this point.
Stay right there. Our conversation continues right after this. Welcome back. We hope you're enjoying this conversation. We shift gears now with the Colonel and Therese talking about sports and what it's like to be an inspiration.
I wanted to ask about sports, obviously. Having the experience you did at West Point, how did sports prepare you? How did it teach you about yourself being ready for the military? And then what you went on to, I guess, share with the New York Giants organization before their Super Bowl run?
Right. I would definitely say that sports is really probably the core of my inherent resiliency. You know, as a cliche, you get knocked down, you get back up, and that's what football is all about. You get knocked down, and you got to get up, you got to fight, and you know, over 10 plus years of my life playing that contact sport, you know, it built into me the basis of a resiliency of never quitting, and just understanding that you can keep going, you can endure, and I had that. You know, I say first from the basis really of my parents. You know, my parents who are both deceased now, but born in the 40s. In the Jim Crow South of South Carolina, giving me appreciation of their upbringing and their resolve to push through, was the basis of my own, understanding and appreciation of never quitting.
We got about 2 minutes left. Let me ask quickly, what has, I guess, shown itself to you as far as your story and how it's impacting others?
You know, oftentimes people, as you can, they come to me and they say, you're so motivating. And so my take, honestly, is that I am not trying to motivate anyone. That's never my intention. I'm sharing. And I wasn't even a fan of necessarily publishing the book. But you know, Therese and some of my friends stayed on me about it. They got me to a point where, I was comfortable, but I, it's my story. It's not about, and it's about me and my family, but I can't motivate you. Now, I might share something that allows you to motivate yourself, but it's not me. I'm not around you every day. So,
understood, and very humble. Therese, I guess you have found a friend. You have found a confidant. And in our last 30 seconds, what does this connection mean to you?
Well, it absolutely changed my life. Greg has always been a great person to help me when I'm feeling a little lost. The book is a little bit about the military and a little bit about football, but it's mostly about recovery. And I mostly wanted to get that story into the hands of other people who can use it. But there are days when I'm talking to Greg and he says, haven't you learned anything from me? You just wrote a whole book about this.
We appreciate the time they spent with us. You can find that book at Amazon.com. Local plans for the eclipse when we return. Well, of course, coming up this year, 2024, on April 8th, we've been talking about it for months and years, getting ready for it. But there's another community here in Northwest Ohio that's really been getting ready for it, creating this marketing opportunity. And we are so great to have Thomas Anderson Jr. and also Christina White representing Springfield Township. And Homecoming Park is going to be the place to be in April. But I want to talk to you a little bit. We're talking about the eclipse and what is about to happen in 2024. So we have told our viewers on the news, we've shown them the maps, our meteorologists have shown the trek. And along that line, you see Northwest Ohio being front and center, being a prime location. Mm-hmm. You guys have taken the ball on this and said, this is an opportunity. This is a marketing opportunity for our area. Tell me about it. Who wants to start?
Well, there's so many times in a township where people don't get to see what the trustees and or our team in-house are actually doing for them. And this is a way of giving a little back to the community. With our sponsors' help, it's going to be zero cost to the community and getting people's awareness of what's going on in the community and opening their eyes a little bit about a once-in-a-lifetime solar eclipse.
Yeah, Christina, I was talking to you. I said, obviously, you see the map, you see this stretch, you see where the totality is going to hit. Northwest Ohio, prime location. You guys saw this, as I said, as an opportunity to get the word out about our area. We're not providing anything special as far as the map is concerned, but you guys are doing things special leading up to it.
It's a lot of fun when somebody tells you there's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and an experience. And even if somebody wants to roll their eyes and not take from 312 until 315 or 16 on April 8th, seriously, one thing that we know about the Toledo residents and our guests that come in is they like to have a good time. Mm-hmm. So what Springfield Township decided is we have an opportunity to do a little bit more than have a good time. We can educate. We can challenge people's creative sides, but we can also give them some place that they can't find in other communities that surround us, and that is Homecoming Park turning into a campground.
Talk about that a little bit. That was one of the things that really grabbed my attention was the fact that you've got this area cordoned off, that you are going to create this, I guess, haven for all sky watchers and sky gazers who want to show up no matter where they're coming from.
No, they better act quickly because there are only 120 rustic tent sites and 56 of the sites for motorized vehicles. Mm-hmm. So we're limited in the area, and that's the other thing that we wanted to take the time is to let our residents know that they don't have to fear that we're going to overtax the services that are available to our residents on any given day, because we're not talking about bringing thousands of people to camp. We can't
right.
accommodate that.
Right.
But with what we can accommodate, we're offering that opportunity to rustically enjoy, and I have to emphasize that because it's not the Taj Mahal, folks. It's
like,
it is Homecoming Park.
It's not Yellowstone.
It is not. It is not. But it has so many amenities within the community that are closely connected. We've got the opportunity, thanks to the school district for providing us with access to the additional parking. TARDA is going to be running routes so that we're not worried about congestion, particularly in the area. It's a safe place that people can go on an exciting weekend. And the things that we're doing, starting right in the month of January.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. You guys decided once 2024 hits, these activities are gonna start. Why was that so important?
Yep, just to get the community prepared and get the word out and get people excited. And that in January, it's
not your ordinary Mondays.
Right. Once a month, we're gonna have an event, and it just spreads the word and gets people aware. And like at the library, the second week or second month there, we'll have a, you know, what to expect, what precautions to take to view the eclipse.
Right.
And it's just educational, and it's just a little poke to keep people involved.
Absolutely.
And getting them excited.
Yeah, keep them geared up. And, you know, one of the things that grabbed my attention, too, is day of, well, I do want to mention March 30th, 5K Total Eclipse Run and Moonwalk. That is starting at Homecoming Park once again. That is ground zero right there.
And that is followed, it's not on your paper, but that is followed by the Prehistoric Hustle, which is so close to my heart. We have 10 area celebrities, if you want to run, you're in, that are going to put on those inflatable dinosaur costumes, and they're going to race against each other with the donation to the charity. Whoever wins the donation to the charity.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Their choice. So we have the 5K walk and total eclipse of the run and moonwalk, and then our dinosaurs showing up, which is just, I mean, who? Everybody laughs when we say that because
it's fun. I can't say that's going to trump the eclipse, but it may be good visuals nonetheless.
It is, isn't it?
You're going to do a sunrise service the day of, games, activities, solar skills contest, just a host of other things that you guys have planned for that day. But it's really leading up to it. And you talk about the education, too. And I know a lot of people are jumping on that. Just understanding what's about to happen, why it's so significant.
You know, I'm sure that every one of your meteorologists gets this question 10 or 15 times a day. So what if it's raining? What if it's cloudy? And Tom and I were talking about that.
Yes.
It rains at night. It gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, whether anybody takes this seriously, we started with the idea of educating this early because we knew people weren't taking it seriously. We approached all of our major employers and big box stores, which there are a bunch of them in Springfield Township, and asked, are you aware, are you prepared? And they were looking at us like, what are you talking about? So we knew that we had to go beyond just creating some experiences and educate. So the Nacho Ordinary, the idea for the Nacho Ordinary Mondays came up, and then the day of the, there's no school. Every school district in the greater Toledo, so kids need something safe to do. And partnering with, you know, some of the sports organizations in town to do those solar skill contests will bring people out there. We can keep them safe, and that's something that's very important to the trustees.
You said you guys made sure you were on the Eclipse website.
NationalEclipse.org.
So they are there, but also if you want to get more information, SpringfieldTownship.net/Eclipse-2024 is where you can find out more information as far as all the things that are planned here in the new year leading up to the big day, April 8th. Congratulations, and gosh, good luck going forward.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
If you want to run, I got a suit for you.
We'll talk about it off air.
Nine spots available.
We'll be right back. Well, welcome back for a final time here on Leading Edge. You know, you may have recognized Colonel Gadsden in our first interview. He was part of the cast of the movie Battleship. Great to have you with us. We'll see you next time here on Leading Edge.